To go, Eva.
This meeting is being recorded.
Good morning. I'm Mark Allen with Gaber.io, and I'm here today with Casey Binkley. Did I get that right?
Close. Binkley, but yeah.
Binkley. Sorry about that. The CEO of Movia. Good afternoon in your case, Casey. How you doing?
Doing awesome, Mark. Thanks very much for having us.
Thank you for joining us today. So to start with, can you share a brief background of yourself and your work experience?
Yeah, for sure. I can truly call myself a serial entrepreneur. I've had a few different businesses over the kind of since university days over the past 15 years. I've been in the recycling business. I went gold mining for a summer. I had a special events company. And then my most recent ones, we had a manufacturing business that manufactures homebrew equipment. We manufactured in Michigan and China, and we sold the products in roughly around 1,400 retail stores across 45 countries. So me and a partner kind of bootstrapped that out of university. I was involved for 5 or 6 years and then was just looking to take things to the next level. Homebrew market's a great market, but it's a very niche space. There's only about 4 to 5 million people in the whole world that homebrew. So smaller market, and I was just kind of looking for bigger opportunities. As well as the other thing that kind of took me away from it was the whole drinking aspect. And I'm in media advertising, so I'm not going to say I don't indulge or enjoy myself, but when you're in the kind of brewing or alcohol space, it's, I don't want to say it's a requirement, but it's almost a requirement that if you're not partaking, you're definitely a bit of an outsider. So
interesting.
I look for bigger opportunity and to potentially clean my life up a little bit in that sense.
Well, that's good. Yeah. I actually only know one person that homebrews, and I'm a hockey player, they're generally known for their for enjoying a pint or two from time to time. So let's talk about Movia. What is Movia? I mean, who's your target customer and what do you do for them?
So Movia, we are in the outdoor advertising space. We basically connect outdoor advertising to the digital world. So our format is large format truck side ads. We partner with third-party logistics companies that are already out on the road delivering. They're typically working 8, 10, sometimes 12-hour days, 5 to 6 days a week, and they're very regionally targetable. We do have access to semi trucks, but they're typically on the highways. So we're after these downtown urban trucks. We have some patented beacon technology. We have a device that goes on each truck. So it's a GPS, but the cool thing we do is regression analytics through Wi-Fi and Bluetooth measurement. Most people leave their Wi-Fi or Bluetooth on their phones. So as the truck drives around, our beacon picks up all the available signal. We know what devices have come in contact with the trucks, where and at what time. We report that back on a live analytics dashboard. So there's a lot of measurement accountability. Clients can log on, see exactly where the truck is, how many people have seen it, what time of day it was out there, frequency numbers. So that's kind of the first step to it. Sorry, I've got a construction. We've got a reno downstairs, so there might be odd background noise occasionally, but not a lot. So we then connect this into online programmatic, and we serve digital ads back out on two devices through apps like Facebook, Instagram, the Weather Network. So we can measure and know how often your device sees a truck ad and then a corresponding digital message. And through that, we can track conversion rates, website visits, did you sign up for the email, the whole shebang.
Very cool. I mean, it's interesting that you combine what you see with what you carry, right? Basically.
It's kind of the whole ad journey of you kind of start with a general brand awareness through outdoor or truck side, which is one of your kind of most cost-effective medians from a CPM perspective. Mm-hmm. And then digital is really like acquisition-based. Mm-hmm. So digital is going to be a more expensive median to serve ads on. So with us, when we kind of combine the two channels, we can build that general awareness for a very cost-effective CPM. So when we serve the more expensive digital ads on your phone, higher conversion rates.
That would be, yeah, wow. So yeah, the more you see something, the more likely you are to remember it, correct? That's the whole...
That's exactly it. Everybody right now is subjected to roughly about 3,500 ads a day.
Mm-hmm.
So until you see something, typically right now, the kind of industry threshold is around like 18 to 20. So until you've had like 18 or 20 touch points with a brand, it's really not going to start to resonate with you. Because again, you're just bombarded all day with different ads, different logos. It's a nonstop plethora.
And the typical truck, I mean, do they have a typical size or do they range, I mean, other than the 18 wheelers, are they all over the board?
So it's mostly like urban delivery trucks. So they're 18, 20, 24 feet long. So they're targeting urban city cores or residential neighborhoods. We partner with a lot of Amazon trucks, Wayfair delivery trucks, trucks that would be doing food service routes. So delivering to grocery stores, gas stations, convenience stores. We have like more downtown routes that are targeting commercial buildings, office towers, even into industrial. And then we also get into rural. So out of home can be hard to find in like small rural towns. And we'll have parts of our network trucks that are going kind of small town to small town.
And have you ever thought of going like into individual cars? I mean, I know there's some thought of that.
There's a few competitors. I wouldn't say like not direct competitors, but there's a few companies that do car wraps, primarily kind of rideshare and whatnot. It's also a great medium. They've kind of carved their niche out in car vehicle advertising, where we're after these commercial trucks. They're bigger. They're a little bit more, you know, consistent. A lot of times commuter cars won't be on the road. Like a commercial truck has got to work 5 to 6 days a week or else it's not paying its bills. Whereas somebody that's an Uber driver, yeah, they're going to work consistently, but they can also just choose to take a Thursday off or Friday off if they decide they want to.
Right. And interesting. I mean, because we, you know, we're just coming out of the pandemic, but it seemed like delivery picked up immensely in the pandemic. Would you agree with that?
Yeah. I mean, we saw on e-commerce that like e-commerce was up roughly 20 or 30%. So there was parts of our network, residential network exploded, where you have more commercial trucks like doing office towers and stuff that obviously shrank. So you actually saw a lot of the networks kind of do a shift. Maybe they were more B2B commercial type deliveries. And then because of the uptick in residential or e-commerce, more residential deliveries. So, yeah.
And did that have an uptick in your business? Did you have more retailers looking for different types of advertising?
Yeah, we've had an awesome run at things. When it first started, it was not good for us. Outdoor advertising. Brands, you know, need to get in front of people. And if everybody's on lockdown or not driving around, it's hard to invest in a medium that potentially not a lot of people are going to see it. So we definitely had a bit of a blackout period for about 9 months where we weren't launching a lot of new campaigns. But since then, since things have started to kind of come out of restriction and whatnot, we've seen a huge uptick in our business. There's been a bit of a reset where I say that a lot of kind of ad dollars were on what I call rinse and repeat strategies. So they use the same billboards, they use the same transit year after year. People aren't really necessarily looking for that innovation. Whereas now with COVID, that's kind of reset everything. And the other thing is a lot of networks are still like not up to their ride. Like for instance, transit ridership is still down compared to what it was pre-pandemic. So like New York subway, I think they're up to about 75% of pre-pandemic, but it's not up to the same ridership levels as before. Same with like networks like Cineplex going to the movies. That's kind of a competitor to us as well. So their numbers are still down.
Yeah. And it was funny because I noticed here in the Bay Area that weekend traffic picked up. And then shortly after that, rush hour traffic also picked up. I don't know if you've noticed that too.
we're definitely back.
Yes, we're not 100% back though. I can tell you that in the Bay Area. I don't know what it's like in Toronto where you are.
No, I would agree. I don't think there's anywhere probably in the world that's back to 100%, but compared to what we were like 2 months into COVID,
yeah,
the roads were very bare at one point.
Yeah, and so were the streets. So, but I think people are getting out now more, and it which is a good sign. So how did that affect your company? I mean, in general, like I think you've been in business for over 5 years, correct?
Yeah, we're five, kind of going on 6 years. So no, things are, I mean, COVID took, it kind of wound us down for 9 months. It wasn't, but now we're in a huge uptick. We had a record year last year. Q1 was a record Q1 for us. So our business is heading in a great direction right now. I'm really excited about the next kind of 2 to 3 to 5 years.
Well, very good. And did you have an office that everybody went into before the pandemic?
We did, yeah. We had an office downtown Toronto. So obviously when the restrictions came into effect, we locked the doors up and everybody went remote.
Mm-hmm. And so the big question is, are you planning to stay remote, or are you going to go back into the office or do a hybrid?
I think we're a bit of a hybrid approach. I've always been a fan, even pre-COVID, that if somebody's accomplishing their work and hitting targets and, you know, everything's tickety-boo, then as far as I'm concerned, you could be working on a beach. Mm-hmm. So it more comes down to, like, are we actually getting done what we need to get done? And if so, then I don't really think, like, your work atmosphere or environment typically matters. I will say I'm a fan of training in person. So as we hire new staff, we typically for their first like 2, maybe even 3 months, we're doing kind of a 2 to 3 days a week in the office. At least if it's somebody local in Toronto, we've started to do some kind of more remote hires that they're obviously, they physically aren't going to be in the office because they're in a different city. So in that case, we're training, but I'm also kind of happy to leave it open. I find some of the team members are keen to get back into the office because they've been stuck at home. I mean, me personally, I enjoy going into an office because I feel like I'm in a real work environment. Whereas for somebody like myself that like kind of work can go and continue, when I'm at home, it just seems like it's like kind of a never ending state of working at home. Whereas when the office is open, I can go to the office, kind of do an 8 or 10 hour shift. And then sure, at the end of the day, maybe I'll come home and clean up some emails while I'm on the couch or something, but it's kind of a different work mind frame for me.
Yeah. I mean, it basically sets a time where, you know, your day is basically ending, other than you said, you're right. The email here and there.
That's exactly it.
Yeah. Because I've worked from home for over 10 years. And pre-COVID, what I did was I went to my gym every day at 5:30 so that I knew that was the end of my day.
There you go. Exactly. I think everybody has kind of different routines.
Yes.
Right?
And it depends upon your personal situation. My kids are grown and out of the house. So if you have kids, that kind of sets your time too.
100%.
Yeah. So going forward, do you foresee that you're going to continue to, you know, basically look in Toronto for employees? Or are you going to look, you know, all over Canada, all over the U.S. or all over the world?
A little bit of both. Right now, I'm actively hiring here in Toronto as well as throughout the U.S. Our team's primarily based in Canada, but we do majority of our business in the U.S. So I'm trying to hire a few sales staff right now, in New York, or kind of LA, kind of the big ad capitals of our industry. And then we've had good success hiring remote developers throughout the pandemic. We've had remote developers from Pakistan. We have a gentleman that's with us from Nigeria right now. Mm. And then we've got a remote developer that's based out of the U.S. right now. So,
yeah, that's definitely cool. And I think, have you noticed Nigeria and Pakistan, they're fairly close in terms of time zone, but Pakistan to the U.S., that's a whole different time zone. So how do you juggle that?
I can't say it's easy. You know, I'm not necessarily the one that's managing our tech team. I'm a non-technical founder. Mm. But my CTO is the head of that. And I know that he definitely finds it, it can be strenuous and are operating at odd hours to ensure that you're keeping communication lines open with the team. So I don't know if I have a total perfect solution for that, but it's a work in progress.
Yeah, I would agree. I do it myself and I've done it in the past. And you usually what you do is you schedule the calls not too long before you go to bed on both sides of the planet.
Quite literally exactly what's going on.
Yeah. I don't like to do the 2 and 3 a.m.ers, but usually 10 p.m. is not so bad. Or 10 a.m.
Exactly. So, yeah. No.
Well,
if
Casey's,
you find any other solutions, please let us know. I'm open ears on that.
Yeah. Well, one of the solutions I know is sometimes that the people in other countries work New York hours is basically the way it works.
Fair.
That's which fair. Is tough on them. But that, you know, people all over the world do that. They work off shift.
Yeah, that's very fair.
Yeah. So, well, Casey, it's been great talking to you. It's a great idea. I actually have seen some of these trucks around the San Francisco area. Hopefully I'll see more and more of them as the years go by.
It's going to be lots more for sure. We're on a bit of a roller coaster journey up right now. So please stay in touch. And anybody that's listening, appreciate at least reaching out if you're interested for sure.
All right. Thanks. And have a great weekend.
Thanks, Mark. Take care.